This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, joined, as always, by my good friend, Robert Stewart, and your Arkansas Razorbacks are ranked number one in the country. Again, it's become a common occurrence basically every season now under Dave Van Horn, Robert. They are currently ranked the number one team in the nation. It is a unanimous number one for the Razorbacks at this point in time. They are 31-3. On the season, the best 34-game start in program history, 11-1 in conference play. They got a huge series coming this weekend. Top 10 showdown at Georgia. Robert, it is Dave Van Horn against Wes Johnson. We're going to break that down later on in the episode, but we also have to talk about the series sweep of Missouri. So we're going to talk about that. Not a ton to talk about with that, as expected, but we'll talk about that a little bit. We also have to get to the midweek win over Arkansas State on Tuesday briefly. And then, as I mentioned, we'll talk about the Georgia series and then hit a little bit of news and notes at the end of the episode, Robert. But how are you doing today, Robert? The Hogs, pretty easy series sweep of Missouri, as we thought.
Yeah, I mean, I said on the last episode that this was an inning, a series that you need to get through in 21 innings. And fortunately, because of weather, they were able to do that. But this was some of the worst baseball I've ever had the displeasure of watching. Not by Arkansas, of course. They were, you know, they did their job. They scored, what, 51 runs over 18 trips to the plate in three games, a little over 24 hours. You know, the bats did their jobs, but oh my goodness, was it hard to watch Missouri pitch, man. 29 walks, 6 hit batters. That's 35 free passes. That's damn near 2 an inning.
Yeah.
That's unspeakably bad. I mean, They're 0-12 through 4 weeks of SEC play. Like, we gotta have the relegation conversation. Like, when do they get back to the Big 12? When do they fold? It's an embarrassment to the game.
And the worst part about it is, like, none of their, like, Missouri fans, they can be ruthless, and none of their fans are even going to say a thing about this baseball team either, because they
can't even get 1,000 people to show up to their games.
They just understand what it is. So Friday night, or no, sorry, not Friday night. So weather obviously played a factor, and they had to push Friday's game to Saturday at 4 o'clock. The Razorbacks won that one 21-3 in 7 innings. That was a run rule win. And then they pushed games 2 and 3 back to Sunday for a 7-inning doubleheader on Sunday. Didn't matter because the Hogs won the first one 14-4 and the second one 16-2. So would have been run rules either way, Robert.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you think about it. I assume you were at the ballpark for most of it, but me watching at home, like the biggest takeaway for the broadcasters was like, as far as positives go for Missouri, was like, oh, their catchers are doing an excellent job of, you know, keeping the ball in front of them. Like, Missouri's pitchers were so wild that was the biggest compliment they could give.
Yeah. It, man, it's tough because, like, you want it to be that situation where you sit there and you say, like, well, at least Missouri's trying or whatever, but it's an SEC baseball program. Like, I want to kind of feel bad for these guys, and you want to make the argument of, like, with the NFL, like, everybody gets paid, you know, all these guys get paid, they're getting paid to do this. And Missouri is just, like, it's different. It's just not the same as everything in SEC baseball. And we also need to recognize it for that. And, you know, we'll talk about each game. We probably won't do our normal game by game because of just the way that they beat them down. But I thought it was interesting, Robert, that D1 Baseball decided to rank Arkansas number one after sweeping Missouri. So the Razorbacks were number two. They sweep Missouri. They move up to number one because Tennessee dropped 2 games to Texas A&M.
Swept in a doubleheader.
Yep. And and so Texas, which was ranked number three, or no, what was Texas ranked? 5?
I think they were 5 and they're 5 now, maybe. Or
and either way, Texas swept number 3 Georgia, and so I thought it might make sense for Texas to jump Arkansas in the rankings just because they had a more impressive series sweep. But the Hogs swept Missouri. They're up to number 1 in the nation, and it's just Missouri was just not a good team Not it
Well,
was an impressive series sweep just the way Arkansas did it, but not in a like you're not beating an impressive team.
right. I mean, I think the way that, the first 4 weeks have played out in terms of schedules, Texas probably has the right to be number one. And, they're both 11-1. Texas has beaten LSU, who's number three, and Georgia, who was number three last weekend, right? So that's two humongous series wins. I think they went 5-1 on those two games. South Carolina wasn't much of a challenge. Missouri was obviously not a challenge at all for Arkansas. They've had impressive stints on the road in terms of a sweep at Vandy and rallying to win the series at Ole Miss in week one. But yeah, I mean, I think the Longhorns definitely had a case as far as more impressive series wins overall this year and particularly this weekend.
Yeah. All right.
But alas, number one. I mean, like you said, it's just a hallmark of the Dave Van Horn era.
Yep. So real quick, let's go through these games against Missouri. And before we do, let's tell you about Hogbeat.com. Hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com, the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. I'm the publisher and owner of the website. We have a lot of great stuff over there, as always, for you. Basketball transfer portal is in full swing. We've got it broken down better than anybody. Jackson Collier, JC Hoops, he does it. It does an incredible job for us. We've also got all the full spring football coverage, free and premium stuff. We got practice reports. We've also got all the press conferences, practice videos, everything you want from that. And then, of course, the baseball coverage. I was at Swatters Club on Monday, Robert. We need to make sure we hit some of the news and notes from Swatters Club. That Dave Van Horn talked about. So, all that you could have had on hogbeat.com on Monday instead of having to wait to listen to this podcast whenever you're listening to it. So, visit hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com today. Thank you for your support. All right. The Hogs win the first one 21-3, Robert. Zach Root again. Gets the job done. He did give up three earned runs on three hits, but Dylan Carter and Will McIntyre also gave you an inning. And then just overall at the plate, things went well, but also, as you mentioned, just the revolving door of pitchers for Missouri. I mean, my goodness, dude.
Yeah, it was really tough to watch, particularly the fourth through the sixth innings when the Hogs put up 17 runs in those three frames. I mean, 14 walks in six innings. Like, what? It's so bad, it's so painfully bad. You mentioned Zach Root, did give up three runs. I thought he was fairly effective for most of the lineup. It was really just the 8 and 9 holes that gave him problems, right? A walk and a double for each guy, Hernandez and Basler in the 8 and 9 holes. Knutson, the leadoff guy, drove him in the third and the fifth, both times. But yeah, I mean, you look at 1 through 7 in their order, a combined 1 for 19. It's not like their offense was impressive by any means. And we knew that, right? We said on the last episode, Jackson Lovich was their only really impressive hitter in terms of statistics so far, and he was injured and didn't play. So, yeah, I mean, I guess a respectable showing from the Tigers as far as, batting goes, with what they had. Scratching across three against Zach Root is no small feat, but you're not going to win when you give up 21 runs most of the time.
No. Five of those runs driven in by Cam Cojuel. He's on a freaking tear, dude. He won
What a
SEC.
last 2 weeks Cam Cojuel has had.
He won SEC Player of the Week. He now leads the team in batting average, which is just wild. That's just another revolving door there is who's going to be leading the Razorbacks in batting average this week. And this week it is Cam Cojuel. So he drove in five in that first game. Justin Thomas drove in four runs in this one. He had a pair of hits. Nolan Souza drove in three. Logan Maxwell had a home run. Brent Iredale had a home run. So yeah, man, the offense just all over the place, getting the job done in this one. Vahevo Loy didn't have a hit, but he did score two runs. So that's good to see. Same with Kuhio Aloy. Didn't have a hit but scored two runs. He did strike out four times in this game, though.
Yeah, every batter on the other side of this, every batter in the Arkansas order reached via free pass at some point,
Nice.
whether it was a walk, whether it was a hit by pitch.
Nice.
This game got so out of hand that we saw Michael Anderson again for the second time in a week. I mean, it was ugly. Going back to Kojo real quick, talking about his last 2 weeks, 14 for 24 in his last six SEC games and has driven in 21 runs.
Yeah, not bad, man. Not bad for Cam Kojal. He's on a tear. So the Hogs win the first one, 21-3 on Saturday. And then they come out on Sunday morning in the first game of the doubleheader, and they win 14-4. Gabe Gackel gives you 4 innings. Did give up 4 runs on 5 hits. Only 2 of them were earned. 6 strikeouts, 2 walks for the Gack, and the Hogs in this one. So again, Robert, it was a big inning in the bottom of the fourth, but they were, just consistently scoring runs in the first, second, third, fourth. Didn't score in the fifth, but he also scored again in the sixth. Worth noting, this was a game where you had to come from behind, Robert. They were down in a hole, 2-0 after the top of the first.
Yeah, both games Missouri struck early, right? In the doubleheader, but it just did not matter. The Hogs have been good about responding to when the opponent scores all year. Couldn't quite erase the deficit in the first. Only got the one run on a sac fly for Kojal, but you get 3 more in the second. Missouri evens it up at 4 after the top of the third, but then 10 unanswered to finish for the Hogs. So, if you're the Tigers, you feel good about that kind of start offensively, scratching across 4 runs against Gabe Gackel. They only 2 of them were earned, like you said. But yeah, I mean, you gotta find a way to pitch if you're gonna get excited about being tied after 3, right?
Yeah. Temperatures were mid-40s in Fayetteville on Sunday.
It looked miserable.
Yeah, it was cold.
Like what you'd expect from an early season series in Columbia.
Yeah, it was cold. Some people decided to just like keep windows open when we were indoors, which was weird. So that was interesting. Charles Davalon in the first game of the doubleheader, he drives in 7 runs, Robert, with two
On two
swings.
swings.
Yeah. Two swings, 2 home runs. He had a 3-run homer and a grand slam in this one. Took the team lead with 11 homers. He's got 12 of them now because he hit one against Arkansas State on Tuesday. So Charles Davalon, man, not only does he lead the Razorbacks in a lot of these hitting categories, but he's leading the SEC too
Yeah.
in hits and runs. So
He's
he
got
is,
eight home runs in 12 conference games.
yeah,
That's a
he's on a tear.
crazy pace at the top of the order. 24 for 56 overall. He scored 20 runs. That leads the team, probably leads the conference too. I mean, I was doing my Georgia research. Arkansas and Georgia have scored the most runs. They're the only two teams over 100 runs in conference play. And of course, the Hogs just got half of those.
Yeah.
This past weekend. But yeah, I mean, a 492 OBP at the top of the order from Chuck D. So exactly what you need.
Yep. 16 hits in this second game of the series for Arkansas. 11 of those with runners on base, and 8 came with runners in scoring position. Interestingly enough, Robert, both games of the doubleheader, those statistics were the same. 16 hits, 11 hits with runners on base, and 8 with runners in scoring position.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
I know. I thought that I was just looking at it wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's correct. So, also in this game, Aiden Jimenez looked great again. 2 scoreless, 2 strikeouts, no hits, no walks for Jimenez. And then Steele Eaves gets to get in the game and close it down there for the Hogs. So another good win. In game two, Vejevaloy had 4 hits in this game. Cam Kojal had 2 more, drove in 2 more runs, also walked twice. 2 hits from Cujillo, 2 hits from Ryder, 2 hits from Nolan Souza. Just a good day to be a hitter, or a good weekend to be a hitter in the Razorback lineup.
Yeah, I mean, how do you complain, right? Going back to Jimenez for a minute, he has brought his SEC ERA down to 0.69. That's where you step in and say, nice.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice. Okay. Jimenez, man, he's going to be a big piece of this team moving forward down the stretch. I really think he's going to be a big piece. They're going to need him.
Yeah.
Game
And he was
two.
efficient, right? He didn't throw that many pitches. I don't know what the total count was, but went six up, six down.
Yeah, he has been efficient, just not just this weekend, but in general.
Yeah.
All right, game two of the doubleheader, game three of the series. The Hogs win it 16-2. They complete the sweep. And just another big day for Cam Koegel, Robert. Three hits, drove in six runs, and he that cemented his spot as SEC Player of the Week. No co on that one, by the way. He is the straight up SEC Player of the Week. And then Landon Beidelschies, he goes four innings, two runs, one was earned, four hits, seven strikeouts, one walk for him. We saw Christian Fauch, Cole Gibler, and Carson Wiggins in this one as well. And again, if you just look up and down the lineup, man, hits galore for the Hogs. They had 16 in this one, Robert. And you look at the Missouri pitchers, and there's nine free passes or nine walks. I don't know how many batters they hit, if they hit any, but nine walks and just another, man, a bad weekend to be a Missouri pitcher, as good as it was to be an Arkansas hitter.
Yeah, I think that game they actually did not hit anybody, so I guess that's a small victory there. But yeah, I mean the difference in this one is that the runs came early for Arkansas. They didn't have to wait around, right? After three innings, it was 12-2. A couple of five spots in the first and the third, and it's just cruising from there. You have to wonder, in a normal situation, when you're not playing Missouri, maybe Beidelschies goes a little bit longer. Like I said, those five spots early, it's a couple of long delays for a starting pitcher, right? So only four innings, not too concerned about the longevity or lack thereof there. I think we should be able to expect at least five from him moving forward. Couple of sack bunts that helped Missouri get runs in the first and third. But he really thing had things under control for the most part. Like you said, seven strikeouts. One of them was, reach base via pass ball, so can't put that one on him. It was good to see Christian Fauch come out, get some reps, throw a 1-2-3 inning, get a couple of punch outs. Cole Gibler looking good yet again, and Carson Wiggins finishing it off. No hits allowed by any of those three guys.
Yeah. First SEC start for Carson Bowles in this game. He gets the start in right field after Logan Maxwell had a little bit of hamstring tightness. We're going to get to that later in the episode.
Going
Carson
deep in the
Bowles,
first at bat.
yep, first at bat, hits a three-run home run. So good start for him in his first SEC start. Just, man, Missouri. And there's not much more you can say about them as a baseball program. And there's not much to say about them in general as a baseball program. So
No, they produce Max Scherzer. That's about it.
I want to say they won like a bunch of College World Series way back in the day. But it's not a respectable baseball program nowadays at all.
Well, it does not belong in the SEC, that's for sure.
No. All right. I will say one player that they have, that Keegan Knutson kid, he's like the, I don't know what his eligibility looks like, but he's the next Missouri player that could probably transfer to a different school and do well.
Yeah, went 3 for 8 on the weekend, scored four of their, how many times did they score? Four of their nine runs,
Yeah.
and drove in two more. So, yeah. Without Lovich, he was definitely the star of the show from an offensive standpoint for the Tigers this weekend.
Yeah, I was gonna say they definitely didn't have their best player in Lovich this weekend, so that didn't, I was gonna say it made a difference. It didn't make a difference, but it would have, they maybe would have had a little bit more success. I don't know. All right, Cam Koegel, SEC Player of the Week. He led the SEC in nearly every major offensive category, including the following. He had nine hits, three doubles, 13 RBI, 18 total bases, a 706 on base percentage, a 1385 slugging percentage last week, Robert. 13 of those RBI came in the series against Missouri, which means he single-handedly outscored the Tigers in the series. So,
So that's the second straight weekend he's done that.
I
He drove
guess.
in eight against Vandy's seven runs last weekend and drove in 13 to Missouri's nine this weekend.
Then I guess he's done that, yeah.
That's a crazy feat.
He had multiple hits, including a career high tying 4 in the series opener. He also logged multi RBI games, including a career high 6 in game 2. So there you go. He leads the team in batting average now, Robert. Let's talk about some of these stat leaders on the team real quick.
I've got the Missouri spreadsheet open right now. I want to rattle off a couple from the series and we can hop into that. As a team, Arkansas hit 469 this weekend, went 46 for 98. That is a ridiculous number. 29 walks, as we mentioned, to only 23 strikeouts. I mean, you've got Chuck D, Vahiva Aloy, Kuio Aloy, Cam Kojal, Ryder Helfrich. All those dudes had 5 or more hits
Heck
each.
yeah. You'll take that.
Yeah.
All right.
Davalon drove in 9 runs himself. I mean, he had a great weekend just in the shadow of Kojal.
He's over 40 RBI on the season now. He's got 41. He's got 12 homers, which leads the team. 57 hits leads the team. 52 runs scored leads the team. His batting average does not. Cam Kojal batting .411, which is right above Davalon's .410. Kojal's got 44 hits, 10 doubles, 7 homers, 37 RBI. And then let's see.
Check this out as far as SEC play goes. Cam Kojal, 25 for 47. That's good for 532.
Yeah, him
OPS, 1500.
his SEC play numbers are crazy. Logan Maxwell and Kuhio Aloy both with 9 homers now. Vahiva Aloy and Ryder Helfrich, or not Ryder Helfrich, Brent Iredale both with 10. All those guys hitting above 300. The only guys not hitting above 300, Justin Thomas, who's at 286, and Nolan Souza, who's at 245.
I mean, you'll take that for your 8 and 9 hole hitters.
Yep. So, Zach Root, 3.48 ERA, 60 strikeouts to 14 walks. Laden Bidlesheath, 3.82 ERA, 36 strikeouts, 10 walks. And Gabe Gackel, a 5.77 ERA, 40 strikeouts, 17 walks on the season. All right.
Good squad, man. It's so impressive in every facet of the game.
Yep. Okay, I want to go through, before we get to the Georgia series, a few news and notes from Dave Van Horn on Monday at Swatters Club. We did get the latest update on Gage Wood, who has been out with a shoulder injury since that February 23rd game against Michigan down in Arlington. The original timeline was 5 to 6 weeks. That was provided on February 25th, Robert. 6 weeks from February 25th was Tuesday, April 8th. So that we're in that time frame, and Dave said on Monday that Gage Wood is coming along. He doesn't want to say anything too much, but everything he's seen, it looks good. Not having any problems, just building him up now. You might see him on the roster this weekend or the next one, hopefully. We'll see how that goes. Asked about what the role would look like for Wood when he returns, Dave said, bring him along until he gets built up, and then once he does get in there, is he going to start or close or do whatever? He'll do whatever, but I don't know how we'll bring him back. We do have some midweeks the next couple of weeks, or maybe we'll give him a start and say, hey, you got 30 pitches. Then we get to the next guy, or we bring him in second. I don't know, but it'd just be nice to have him standing on that mound.
Yeah, I like the idea of starting him in a midweek game, giving him a small pitch count like that, and just get him live game action again, right? No need to throw him right back into the mix, as an SEC starter, I don't think. You want to ease him into it. You're in a really good position. You don't have to force him back, right? And you know me with injuries, always err on the side of caution, and the Hogs will be very, very well off if, he's just a casual late season addition.
Yeah. On the Logan Maxwell hamstring issue, so he did leave game 2 of the series on Sunday, due to hamstring tightness. Dave said if we would have needed him in game 2, maybe he could have pinch hit, but I didn't really want him to run. Probably not going to play him tomorrow, which was the Tuesday game against Arkansas State, and get him right for the weekend. So A guy you need to have. He's a big piece of this lineup. Logan Maxwell is.
Yeah, I was just looking at the ACC stats, right? And 1539, that's an impressive OPS from Cam Kojal, but it's not the best. Logan Maxwell got 15 points on him. He's been an incredible three-hole hitter, just very nonchalantly hitting 462, and has got six home runs that trails only Davalon in conference play.
We did see Rocco Pepi pop up on the injury report last weekend. Dave Van Horn said on Tuesday that Pepi's back is bothering him. Got some problems there, not a surgery type thing, but just got to rest it and get it right. He's frustrated. I feel bad for him. He's still been a good teammate, still verbal, always verbal on the bench. Try to keep his spirits up a little bit and maybe show him a path where he can get back.
So that would explain why we've seen Michael Anderson a couple times over the last week or so.
Last injury update I have for you is the latest on Hunter Dietz. He remains healthy. Just c can't get him to get his velo right. Dave said he redshirted last year, so this year would have to be a medical redshirt, or they could make last year a medical. Either way, he would still have 4 years of eligibility. If he can pitch, he's going to pitch. They need another left-hander. If he got back to real close to what he was before he hurt the arm for the second time, which he was hurt in high school, it could really be a boost for us. So again, the Hunter Dietz thing, it would be a huge thing if he would be health. He is healthy. If he could make an impact for this team, he just can't get there, man.
Yeah, you definitely want to see his velocity get up. So that's a little bummer, a little bit of a bummer. Did they add anything about Parker Coyle? What was the diagnosis
No,
on him?
there's not much to add about Coyle. It's because it seems like it's gonna be a little bit before he gets back. It would be later in the season, but I do know the last time he was asked about Coyle, he has not ruled out the fact that Coyle could return this season. So.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, along the lines of Gage Wood, right? Don't rush him back. That'll be a huge arm to get back, when the games matter the most.
If you've noticed, Charles Davalon has changed up his approach a little bit at the plate. He used to have a high leg kick, and since he's basically eliminated that high leg kick, that's when we've started to see his change. And Dave Van Horn mentioned that they saw it in the fall and they thought maybe he should fix that, and it's really helped him. He said it was probably about 10 days, 2 weeks into the season, and things kind of flipped. And I mean, you can kind of look along that timeline and it makes sense for Charles Davalon. So making those little things work. He also talked a little bit about the move of getting Nate Thompson to the dugout and how that's helped things. I don't think that he necessarily thinks that it's helped, that is why the offensive numbers have been so much better this year, but obviously it's helped. So I highly recommend you go over to hogpeat.com, check out the full breakdown of that from Monday at Swatters Club. All right, Robert, let's get into this series against Georgia. Before we do, though, let's tell them about Bet Saracen. Bet Saracen, the mobile sports gambling partner of hogpeat.com. If you are in the state of Arkansas, you can download the app today and get these player props that you cannot get anywhere else. This is only on Bet Saracen, and it is specific to Arkansas baseball. A lot of fun player props that you're going to get. The double R props. If you just open up the app, it's right there on the homepage under the specials tab. So check it out. A lot more than just the player props for Arkansas baseball. They got specials for plenty of different sports, all the way up to F1 and the Masters, Robert. So a lot going on Bet Saracen. Please gamble responsibly. Do not gamble more than you're willing to lose. Thank you to Bet Saracen. And make sure that if you are going to travel this weekend to Georgia or wherever, if it's out of state, get your bets in before you leave the state, because you can only place those bets on Bet Saracen in the state of Arkansas. So thank you to Bet Saracen. All right, Robert, the Razorbacks. With a road trip to Athens this weekend, you've been there before. Give us the inside scoop on what it's like for an Arkansas baseball team to go to Athens.
I have. As you recall, it was not a very good last trip to Athens for the Hogs. Ended with a sweep, blowing a 4-run ninth inning lead to get walked off. to finish off that sweep. I remember Caleb Callie had a particularly awesome day that Sunday game, or maybe it was a Saturday. It was game three. And I talked to him afterward. It was about a 30-second interview. He just did not have much to say because that was one of the most brutal losses you can experience, I think. Anyway, Foley Field's cool. The poles are deep. I feel like it's a big cavernous yard, like 350 to left field. Might be the same in right, but big ballpark. This is a clash of titans that we got coming up. I mean, in terms of team offensive categories through 4 weeks in conference play, Arkansas and Georgia are first and second in runs scored. As I mentioned, the only two teams over 100, and home runs. You got Arkansas with 138. Georgia is 30 behind at 108. And then the Razorbacks have 33 home runs in 12 games to Georgia's 32. So you're going to see a lot of offense, I think, this weekend. Arkansas, as far as ERA goes, one of two teams under four through 4 weeks, right? Texas is the other. Georgia is seventh at 5.66. So, we should expect probably two or three games in the double digits in terms of total runs scored this weekend. And then these two teams are also the best two fielding teams, right? The Hogs coming in second at 985, Georgia leading the pack at 993. So two teams who, do pretty much everything really, really well. You mentioned it earlier, right? Wes Johnson, former Arkansas pitching coach, now at the helm running things in Athens. So, lot to look forward to in terms of offense in particular, but really everything. Let's just go through some of these Georgia numbers here because they are pretty silly. You got six different guys hitting 300 or better in conference games. Christian Adams leading the way at 395. Ryland Zabarowski, they call this guy Zabo. Pretty sure he's one of the big stories in college baseball this year. Coming in at 364, leads or is one of five different guys with four home runs. Christian Adams, Zabarowski, Nolan McCarthy, Robbie Burnett, and Henry Hunter. No, I didn't misspeak. It's not Hunter Henry. Henry Hunter. Those are the five guys with four home runs. Colby Branch is another guy over 300, over 1,000 OPS. He's got a couple home runs himself. Ryan Black hitting 333. Slate Alford, he's been around for a while, started his career at Florida, I believe, ended up transferring to Georgia. He's hitting 321 with three home runs. I mean, this Georgia's lineup is loaded. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the NCAA statistics, these two teams are top five in slugging percentage nationally, scoring home runs per game. Arkansas's top five in batting average, strikeout to walk ratio. You mentioned fielding percentage, which, by the way, Arkansas no longer top five in the country in fielding percentage.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to complain about one thing this last weekend against Missouri, it would be that the number of errors that they made. A couple, as I mentioned, I guess it was just those two in the first game of the doubleheader, but it both of them led to a run each, so
Yeah.
gotta clean those up, especially against the worst team ever.
So, is it weird that not maybe not weird, but I feel like this matchup of Dave Van Horn and Wes Johnson is not going to get talked about near as much as a Dave Van Horn Tony Vitello matchup would get talked about. And maybe it's just because you haven't had Dave Van Horn and Wes Johnson getting into a screaming match on the field, but I don't know. It's still that storyline of coach and former assistant going against each other, and Wes Johnson has put together a great program in a short amount of time at Georgia, Robert.
Yeah, right. I mean, he coached Charlie Condon to a Golden Spikes last year, and really laid the foundation for, an incredible season already this year, right? They were one of what, four teams, I think, last weekend that came in 8-1 through 3 weeks, obviously get swept by a really good Texas team on the road. But they came out, played a midweek, I think won 16-2 against some nobody earlier this week. I mean, they're going to come out, I think, with a vengeance after the way last weekend went. I would expect, especially with the Hogs now being number one in the country, I would expect the very best from the Bulldogs this coming weekend.
Yeah. So in the SEC standings now, Georgia has moved down quite a bit from where it was because it got swept by Georgia or Texas last weekend. So Arkansas and Texas both 11-1 at the top of the league. LSU 10-2, Tennessee 9-3, and then you got Georgia and Ole Miss both sitting there at 8-4. Alabama and Vandy 7-5, Auburn 6-6. You got Kentucky, Oklahoma 5-7. Mississippi State and A&M 3-9 in conference play. South Carolina 2-10. Florida 1-11. They did get a win at Florida State, top 10 win in the midweek on Tuesday.
That's a big one.
And then Missouri 0-12. Is Missouri going to go 0-4 in conference play? Who do they have left? Let's look at Missouri's schedule.
That's a good question. While you're checking that out, one note on Georgia and rankings and standings, right? Seventh, overall in the country. That you got to feel good about that, right? And then you look at who's ahead of them. It's five SEC teams and Clemson.
Okay, Florida or Missouri's got to go to Florida. I
So
could see
that
a
presents a
series.
good opportunity there based on the way
Yeah.
the Gators have played so far.
They've got Oklahoma at home. They've got at Alabama, Georgia at home, A&M at home, or no, at A&M, and then Mississippi State at home. So I don't know.
I
There's a
mean,
lot
they've
of
got,
baseball
hey,
games.
it's a lot of games. I mean, and the thing is they have Arkansas and Texas out of their way already, and LSU, right? And they play LSU too. And Ole Miss. I mean, that's a tough start. That's four top six teams right there. So it should get easier for the Tigers for sure. But so bringing it back to Georgia and pitching for a minute before we wrap it all up here. Let's talk about their rotation or what we've seen so far. Charlie Goldstein, that's a name that, if you've been watching SEC baseball this decade, you recognize that. He threw six scoreless against Arkansas in that series we mentioned a couple years ago in Athens. He also started against the Hogs in Hoover in 2021 opposite Lyle Lockhart when he almost threw a seven inning. I can't remember if it was no hitter or perfect game, but he got really close there. Goldstein only threw an inning in that game, but like I said, six scoreless against Arkansas a couple years ago. Off to a rough start in SEC play so far, with 9.64 ERA. Did not make it out of the fourth inning against the Longhorns, but I would expect that being the veteran lefty that he is, he will get another shot to start. A couple righties round out their rotation in Brian Curley and Leighton Finley. Their ERAs aren't special either, 4.89 or 4.82 and 6.91 respectively. I mean, if you compare it to like Zach Root and Gabe Gackel, they're about five in conference play each. So I wouldn't read too much into that. All I'm expecting is, the top two offenses to tee off against each other. And I don't know what kind of over-unders we're looking at this weekend, but if I were a betting man, I would lean over, especially, it doesn't matter who the Hogs are playing. That just always feels like a good bet for them this year. Looking at relievers, they got a trio of righties in Zach Harris, Eric Hammond, Davis Chastain. Those three guys have combined for six appearances, 9 1/3 innings. They've yet to give up an earned run. So, honestly, pretty good showing from the bullpen. Colton Smith is another right-handed reliever. He's got a 1.86 ERA in 9 2/3 innings this year. So, almost looks like you're going to have to strike early against these starters because it seems like they've got some effective relievers.
Yeah. All right, well, looking forward to the series this weekend in Athens. Should be a lot of fun. Obviously, the matchup is great. I doubt any of these games. Nope, none of these games on national TV. All going to be on SEC Network Plus Friday at 5 o'clock, Saturday at 3 o'clock, and Sunday at noon. All there in Athens, Georgia. Robert, bringing it back to the Missouri Tigers baseball team. On Tuesday night, they had 8 errors in a game. Eight
Eight.
errors, and guess what? They won. They won. They beat SIUE 11-8 with 8 errors.
How do you not capitalize on 8 errors?
I don't know, man. That's freaking crazy.
Wow. Yeah, so that's the thing. Missouri stops facing Arkansas pitching, and then all of a sudden they can score 11 runs again, right?
Yeah. I mean, the baseball powerhouse that is SIUE, you know.
Yeah, I guess we totally glossed over the midweek against Arkansas State. I didn't watch it personally. I was in DC watching Shohei Ohtani lose to
Yeah.
the Nationals. So,
We did gloss over that. That's like 2 episodes in a row that we've kind of just like missed over the midweek game.
well, last week it was so hard to watch.
Yeah, that is
Because of the
true.
broadcast in North Little Rock, but yeah, what 7-3 win over Arkansas State.
Yep, so they win 7-3 on Tuesday night at Bob Walker Stadium against Arkansas State. Tate McGuire got his second career start, 3 innings, gave up 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. Hogs had 11 total hits in this one, 2 homers, 3 stolen bases. All of those came from Nolan Souza in this one. Charles Davalon hit his 12th homer of the year. So not a bad win for the Razorbacks over an Arkansas State team that beat a ranked Coastal Carolina team on Sunday, Robert. So,
Big Sun Belt matchup, yeah.
yeah, we did see former Razorback Cason Tollett in this game for Arkansas State again. He's played against the Hogs a few times over the years.
Right.
So, yeah. Ben Bibee pitched, Colin Fisher pitched, Dylan Carter, Cole Gibler, Carson Wiggins all got in this one. Charles Davalon drove in 4 more runs. Kuhio Aloy drove in a pair of runs. Nolan Souza had 2 hits. So Hogs improved to 31-3 with this win, Robert. Another midweek win. They're 5-0 all time against Arkansas State now. So dominating the state of Arkansas in the sport of baseball. So far.
Yeah, they've been pretty good at that since they started letting them play the in-state teams again, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, not much else to say here on this episode of the Diamond Hogs podcast. As we mentioned, this weekend, Hogs at Georgia, 5 o'clock Friday, 3 o'clock Saturday, noon on Sunday, all on SEC Network Plus. Visit hogbeat.com for coverage of all those games. And get on Bet Saracen if you want to get in on the action responsibly. So thank you to Bet Saracen. Thank you to hogbeat.com. Robert's got a smile on his face. What you got to say?
I'm just looking at the schedule this weekend. Missouri, Florida starts on Thursday because it's one of two series that's on. It will be on national TV on Thursday.
Nice.
The two teams with the combined 1 win between them.
That's one game that I'm sure I will not have on the TV on Thursday.
You got Vandy, Oklahoma on SEC Network on Friday. That should be decent. Texas, Kentucky on Saturday. Sorry, this is kind of boring. Missouri, Florida again. I just wanted to see if they were on there again. They are.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So that's 3 games in 2 weekends that Missouri is scheduled to have on national TV.
That's right. And two against Florida. Again, 1 win combined between them.
Oh my goodness, dude. Okay. All right.
See,
I'm gonna do some digging into this after this recording.
I knew that exercise would be worth it. You get another Texas Kentucky to start on Sunday, and then Tennessee Ole Miss. That'll be a good national TV game on Sunday as well.
Oh man, that makes zero sense. Okay. All right. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. That's what I'm going to be doing over the next hour. All right. Thanks, Robert. Thank you, everybody, for listening. to the Diamond Hogs podcast. As a reminder, we should always say one episode per week, no YouTube. If you're listening, you know the drill. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends, and we'll be back next week on the Diamond Hogs
I will
podcast.
be off next week. I forgot to mention that. Going to Pittsburgh.
Well, we might not have a Diamond Hogs podcast next week, so we'll figure that out. But either way,
Gotta call up swearing Riley McFerrin.
yeah, we'll see. We'll figure that out. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Choate Mason and at DRStew32.